The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest Will Powerless. I'll also start our four-week NFL division preview, the top movies at the box office, and much, much more tonight on Revelator.
And enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host Ryan, and hopefully everything is all right with you out there. Got a big time show for you tonight. The band Will Powerless will be stopping by in a moment. You have Jordan and Ryan from the band, so definitely hang on for that. But I want to start off with this really interesting story that I came across, and I just couldn't resist myself. So the police say that a recently crowned Miss Riverton of Utah has been arrested on suspicion of throwing homemade bombs out of her car. The report of the Salt Lake County Jail says Kendra Gill, who is going to compete in the Miss Utah pageant, was taken into custody this past Saturday along with three other individuals for admittingly buying plastic bottles, aluminum foil, and household chemicals before putting together explosives and throwing them in throughout the neighborhood. 9 incidents were reported. Police said nobody was injured during the alleged pranking of pipe bombs being thrown about the neighborhood. The police report says that Miss Gill said that she was just pranking with fireworks. Now, look, admittedly, I've made a few pipe bombs in my day, and fireworks, pipe bombs, they're different. They are. But I was curious. I was like, I wonder what the current reigning Miss Utah would say about this.
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive to figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem. And I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this, and so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem. Thank you, Utah.
No. Thank you, Miss Utah. Thank you. I mean, obviously, such as and then throwing pipe bombs out your car in the neighborhood, not a good idea. Moving on tonight, get your baby here. You're like, what the heck am I talking about? Well, like, look, I guess the guy wasn't, to this guy's credit, from Staten Island, Paul Marquez. You know, I think everybody's at least ventured on Craigslist for one thing or another to sell something or do something, you know, and look for a gig or whatever you may have been using Craigslist for. But to sell your 2-month-old daughter on Craigslist for $100, I guess that's $50 a month. Mr. Marquez titled his Craigslist ad, Baby for Sale. Baby for Sale. You get $50 a month. You know, for a 2-month-old baby, $100. That right there, my friends, is a steal. He says the baby likes to have a lot of fun. He says the baby is asthmatic and really is starting to get on his nerves. Go figure, a 2-month-old getting on your nerves. No kidding. All they do is crap and sleep, okay, and cry maybe a little bit here and there. He says I don't want to be with her anymore. Please email me. Unbelievable. Now, it turns out this is actually not even his child, come further investigation, but he was actually doing this as a prank against a woman he had been seeing. Now, the gentleman actually works as a stock person at Victoria's Secrets. He said that he admitted that he was trying to get this woman back because she was not paying enough attention to him. He's like, you're not paying enough attention to me? Dude, you work at Victoria's Secrets, man. Like, you know, bust out the push-up bra, get the silk panties out, you know? Like, no, I'm selling your daughter on Craigslist for a C-note. $50 a month. You might as well just go to, like, the ballpark, you know, and be like, get your baby here. I got a baby. Yeah, this baby likes to have fun. It's getting on my nerves. Get your baby. $100. Get your baby. Now, it's not, in the ad, it doesn't state whether it came with diapers or formula or anything like that. So, you know, I don't know if it was just the baby flat rate, $100, or if you had the chance to upgrade to a bigger baby package. I don't know. But Mr. Marquez is actually facing up to a year in jail. Now, actually, somebody did answer the ad. Obviously, the ad has been since taken down. I'm hoping that someone was calling the ad, you know, to let her know that, hey, so you're selling your baby online. Yeah, I'm calling about the baby ad for $100. Is this baby in good condition? Would you consider this 2 month old in mint? Oh, boy. Moving on tonight. You know, Mike, do you remember that song, Detachable Penis? I don't remember who sang that song, but this story made me think of it.
King Missile.
Yeah, there you go. This guy, I imagine maybe this song was running through his head when he woke up in the morning. This took place in the Dominican Republic. Geraldo Ramos woke up from a drunken stupor with no penis. Detachable penis. And he said that he got drunk and passed out. The 45-year-old from Santiago says he has no clue where his penis went. But neighbors told the station that Ramos was attacked by a dog when he was drunk. Ramos, however, had no recollection of the incident. And the dog has not been found, so therefore, neither has Mr. Ramos's penis. If you have found Mr. Ramos's penis, please contact the Dominican Republic. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, how drunk, how effed up you got to be. Like, man, I got so fucking wasted last night that a dog fucking chewed my penis off. Jesus. I don't know what they're serving in their drinks in the Dominican Republic, but I think I need to take a trip. I'm keeping my penis, so I'm going to get one of those. I'm going to wear a cup. You know, obviously the dog's like penis out there. I don't know what kind of dog it was. I mean, you know, it was just one of those little street chihuahua dogs or something. I don't know, man. Unbelievable. Detachable penis. Somewhere John Wayne Bobbitt's like, at least they found mine. I did porn, so I'm good. Speaking of just interesting things, how about this? I titled this story Headstrong. Now, a naked woman was rescued after getting her head trapped between railings on a stairwell in Russia. The woman was actually left compromised in the position as her lover took off and left her head stuck between the railings. She said she was just trying to spice her relationship up. And neighbors at the apartment complex heard her screaming for help in the stairwell with her head stuck between the railings. You don't want to talk about spicing things up, right? Hey, honey, I want to know if the guy finished. Would you finish? Right? Yeah, finish. Exactly. Finish. Honey, I'm sorry your head is stuck in that railing, but I got to finish. I'm sorry. I got to go. Let's do it. I'll go get you some Crisco. I'll be back. I'll be back, honey. You stay right there with your head stuck in the railings. And what I'm told is an unrelated story. Lady Gaga was also responding to an issue in Russia as well. So I don't know if Lady Gaga was the woman with her head stuck in the railing getting pounded in the ass or not. I assume only that it was her. I don't know. But I'm told that it's unrelated. Music news tonight. A couple past guests I want to update you on. Congratulations are in order to the band Silver for launching their new music video and also getting a feature in Revolver Magazine. Congratulations to them. The new single, In My Head, featuring Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses. You can go to silverband.com. Check it out. Also, they're on Revelator Show number 8. And also, the guys from Digital Summer, one of the busiest independent bands I know, man. These guys are all over the place. Did a PSA announcement for testicular cancer awareness. That is tcafinfo.org if you're interested. And they also selling shirts for the cause. This is Love Your Nuts. Digital Summer was on episode number 3 of Revelator. And also in other music news, Sammy Hagar and Friends, former Van Halen singer, has enlisted a couple of his friends to basically do an album. Interesting list of people here that's going to appear on this album. Kid Rock, Joe Satriani, a few others. You have Mickey Hart from the Grateful Dead, Toby Keith, which I thought was interesting. So look for that album from Sammy Hagar coming out very, very soon. Knock Down, Drag Out, I believe, is going to be the title. But ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to welcome our music guest of the evening, Jordan and Ryan from the band Will Powerless. Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. And let's say what, if you would, before we get started, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourselves and let everyone know what you guys do in the band Will Powerless.
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm the vocalist of Will Powerless. We are from a hard rock band from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys tonight.
And I am Jordan Panfil. We're both brothers, and I have a detachable penis. Nah, I'm the bass player for the band.
that was perfect because it went just, you know, it went along with the story.
Yeah. wait, nice segue there, guys. Now, I know you guys, you know, got gearing up for another tour here, and you're going to be actually in my neck of the woods here next week, but I know you guys have played, you know, you guys have been on the road quite a bit. You've played two different Warped Tours, and I actually heard about you guys from the guys from Taproot who've been on the show. Mike DeWolf is like, hey, man, you know, you can check these guys out. So I did. I really like what you're doing. Talk to me about, you know, playing with bands like Taproot in this moment, being on these different Warped Tours, how that's really kind of helped you gain experience in, musically as a band.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, I mean it's more fun than anything else getting to go out with bigger bands that can kind of teach you a thing here or there, and you know it never comes out like, hey, let me teach you a lesson. It's always just talking and, you know, kind of shooting the shit, and you learn some things and chatting with the techs and everything. But we had an incredible time with Taproot, and everybody in the band and their crew was really nice, and it was meant a lot to us because obviously Taproot was a big influence for us growing up.
Yeah, it's actually a real privilege, and we really enjoy going out with these bigger bands. And the opportunity that we're having, you know, is absolutely amazing. We have done a fair bit of touring with bands that were, you know, equal size of us or around that, and going out with these really professional acts is just an amazing experience, and you do get to learn a lot from them, and our professionalism level has been skyrocketing with the experience of touring with some of these awesome bands. So it's a very appreciative manner that we have about it.
No, I think that's important. I think maybe a lot of bands probably lose sight of that it is a profession. You got to handle yourself a certain way during certain cases and instances, you know. But I mean, you mentioned, you know, obviously conversations either backstage or with the text and stuff. Is there any like words of encouragement or like, you know, just certain things where they kind of are giving you advice and maybe you didn't realize at the time, and maybe until later you're like, oh, you know what, we had this conversation with Mike or whoever from Taproot or any other band, like, you know, kind of hit you later what they meant or what they were trying to steer you towards?
Well, I had something similar like that with not exactly with Taproot, but I did for a while when we were a little younger. We would go out and we would play these shows, and I never did any vocal like training warm up stuff before the shows, and you know there would be some times where I would you know lose my voice after a couple shows, and I had some more professional artists out there at the time saying, hey, you know, do these vocal warm-ups, download a vocal warm-up app on your phone and do a couple before the show. And on the last couple tours, that's been something that I've been doing. And wow, that really just actually opened up, you know, a great avenue for me as a vocalist, because man, they really help your voice get strong. That's for sure.
Right on. Very cool, man. You know, that's always interesting to hear those, you know, side stories and conversations and, you know, maybe slight, you know, tips and those type of things you guys pick up along the way to, you know, that bands are interested in helping you, you know, succeed at your craft. I got to ask, you know, obviously you're getting ready to gear up for a tour here, you know, here, gosh, in just a couple of days, really. Talk to me about like set list writing with the band. I mean, is it something you guys kind of change up every night, or is it just kind of go with the feel now that you've got, you know, basically two full albums? I mean, is it a little easier to write the set list out now?
Yeah, well, actually, it gets harder to write the set list because you get more material and you kind of, you know, you kind of want to play everything. But at the same time, it's easier to put the set list together because, you know, right now we only have 35-minute set, so we kind of know what everyone wants to hear. And we don't really switch it up every night. We used to when we were younger, but, you know, now we like to be in a rhythm, you know, play the same thing every night. And by the end of the tour, you're just on a roll.
Yeah, you start feeling like there's no, you know, it's just so tight when we do the same songs every night. By the end, it just feels like clockwork. You know, you're not even thinking about it anymore. You're just playing it. And it's just coming out.
No, I could definitely see how that could be definitely a bonus. You know, especially later on in the tour where you're like, okay, we've got these, you know, 10 songs as an example, and we got a 40-minute set, you know, and we're going to do this arrangement, and then, you know, you just, boom, you just go with it. I could see how that could definitely be a benefit. Now, I got to ask you, and we kind of talked about this pre-show, and I got to ask about the wristwatch game, man. What is this crazy game you guys have played on the road with some band, man? Yeah, well, so it's not actually, your guys. It's not your game. Let me clarify that. Let me clarify that's not your game that you guys are playing. This is someone else that was trying to get you to play this game.
No, we just told you it wasn't our game.
Yeah, that's one thing that we found is pretty funny is going out on tour. And meeting all different bands and different people from different areas that everybody band wise pretty much has like different games and just silly things that they do on the road to keep each other occupied. And you know, this one band that we were on tour with had some pretty funny games, and that's what we were talking about. So actually, I'll let Jordan tell you guys about the games.
Well, yeah, it's this one. I don't even recall who the band was, but they had a whole slew of games that were actually pretty fun. And you know, then couple days in the tour, they're like, hey, you guys want to play the wristwatch game? We're like, well, the way you've presented this kind of seems a little awkward. So, I don't know, maybe, what is it? And the one guy's like, let me show you. He's like, just look at my wrist. And we're like, all right. I'll stand there looking. And he takes his dick out and wraps it around his wrist. And he's like, that's the wristwatch. And we're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, at that point, I was like, all right, well, I'll just tell you guys, if we adopt this game, you're going to be looking for a new singer.
Wow.
Yeah, so we told them no more games from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the Batman game, which was really funny, too.
Yeah, the Batman game was good. But, yeah, it's fun. You know, everyone, like Ryan said, everyone tries to come up with their own ways to stay loose and have fun because you're with the same people, you know, living in such tight quarters for so long that you can really get on each other's nerves. So you gotta find ways to have fun.
I imagine the wristwatch game is one of those games that could teeter a tour one way or the other depending on the individuals involved.
Well, luckily we didn't. That's not a game that we took home with us. We left that there with them.
I mean, I the more and more that we've toured, the more you know. Surprising it is that you know a lot of bands, you know they're all you know straight guys, but they do some really funky things to have some fun. they're way too comfortable with each other.
That sounds like you guys are obviously enjoying your time out and gearing up for another tour. Now I know you guys you just got the headlights fixed on your truck there for the tour. What's the name of the truck again?
Yeah, the truck's Yolanda.
Yolanda.
I guess you saw our post.
Yeah, I saw the post, and I'm curious, how many miles have you guys logged with Yolanda?
Well, she's got 240,000 miles, but they're not all from us. I think we got it with 205 or something, so we've put a lot on it, but not all of them. Yeah, I picked that. I went and picked her up today. And I was looking at the receipt, and I saw unit number Yolanda. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. They put the name of the truck in.
No, I think that's really cool. And obviously, you know, building relationship in the community and having, you know, guys, you know you and respect what you guys are doing. I think it's got to be a pretty humbling, I would assume. Now, I got to ask you, gearing up for a tour here, playing in front of a live crowd. Now, you mentioned, Ryan doing, you know, vocal warm-ups. Is there anything else you guys, you know, any stretching or anything you guys do before playing in front of a crowd?
Yeah, we all like to take, you know, a couple shots and whiskey and get lubed up.
Well, we've been doing, before some of the bigger shows recently, we've been like, you know, we'll all just kind of hang out in the bar, watch the bands before us. We like to kind of see, you know, all the bands. It's interesting to us, but we'll hang out at the merch table. Then right before we go on, we've been like walking, meeting at the truck, and maybe, you know, kind of like just doing some, you know, gravity, like swinging your arm and stuff. And we've actually been putting on like the set list on one of our phones, and you know, Jordan and Craig picked up their guitars, and you know, Jake kind of just like drummed on the bed, and I just, you know, I sang along with it, and we just kind of just did a little bit of warming up, you know, that we've done that before some of the really big ones.
Very, very nice. Well, obviously, the first song we're going to hear tonight is, I'm sure, is a song you're going to be playing live on this current tour you guys are getting ready to go on. This is off the album Taking the Clock Apart, Only One Person, which is also featured in a drama film, Murder 101. Talk to me about how that came about, and also, you know, talk to me about, you know, the song itself.
Well, we're working with Opus One out in Los Angeles as our publishing agents, I guess, and they use our music, whether it's instrumental or just, you know, the full song or whatever, to they pitch it to TV shows and movies and commercials and all that type of stuff, and try and get it placed. And they picked this song up for the drama film Murder 101, and that's due out, I think, in a month or two. Should be coming up that it's coming out. So that's cool. We've had American Psycho was picked up in an indie film. And you know, we got two other that are in the works right now that might get picked up. So hopefully that follows through. And Brian can tell you more about the song itself.
Only One Person is kind of just about, you know, how sometimes with a world that's so big and there's so much competition out there and so much going on, sometimes it's hard to know exactly who you are and where you are. And, you know, sometimes when you find that one person that really, like, you know, sets a spark in your world, they can be the entire world to you. But to the rest of the world, they're just one person, you know, that's just kind of just walking around in the crowd. So, and we took it kind of from, you know, my perspective, as if I was talking to that person, like, saying to the world, I may just be one person, but for you, I could be the entire world. So.
No, I think that's well said, man. I think everybody can relate to that and a lot of different aspects in life. I'll tell you what, man, let's take a break and we'll jam that song out. This is Only One Person here on Revelator by Will Powerless.
Far away from
one person here on Revelator, hanging out with Jordan Ryan from the band Will Powerless. Now, I would talk to you guys about the new album, man, Taking the Clock Apart. Came out this April 2013. I tell you what, man, it's a great album. I mean, Taking the Clock Apart, at least to me, it's kind of like the insides. It's great songwriting. It's powerful rock and roll music on the inside of that clock. When you take it apart, it's you guys, man. I mean, it's raw. It's put together. It's well done. I enjoy it. When you sent me the album, I should have been a little over a month ago now, and you sent me the first album, Found Their Way Home. I mean, I could definitely hear and see the growth from one album to the other. Talk to me about the writing process from, 2011, Found Their Way Home, to where you guys, obviously making this album, how you guys have grown as a band and how the process changed for you guys.
The process, actually, as far as writing it goes, really didn't change too much. We had more time rehearse wise, with each other to get down and really, put some time into each song. I think we had more time to write and critique our music, but the whole thing was pretty much the same way as Found Their Way Home. We didn't really have any outside help. It was all just written internally from us and, just the four of us putting our minds together. So
yeah, well,
I'd say time's the bigger difference.
I think I totally agree with that. I think as well as that, we had our drummer Jacob put a lot more his mind into the new album, where on the previous one it had been more written by the three of us. They had been songs that we had written the three of us, and that he was more of just playing the drums on those songs. But on the Taking the Clock Apart album, the four of us really sat down and pulled apart the lyrics. Like Jake and I would, sit there and go through the lyrics, meaning by meaning, and try to make sure that they were really making sense and we were really trying to say what we wanted to say. And then, we would bring the lyrics back to Jordan and Craig and let them have their input in it and, really work as a team to make sure that we were all happy with the meanings. And the same way with the music too. Jacob actually even really helped out with guitar writing on this album too, which was so the music did have a fourth influence there with him, so there was a change there.
Taking the Clock Apart is it's our most recent album, so it's probably everyone's favorites, but it did feel like a good accomplishment. We felt like we had the right amount of time to write it and put the time and effort and energy into it to get to the point that we wanted it.
Well, it's a great CD, man. And I'm not just saying that just to say it. I mean, I really thoroughly enjoy the album. It's really, really good top to bottom. I imagine, obviously, when you did the album in 2011, you talked about earlier in the interview about the experience of being on the road and playing with, obviously different bands and being on tour. And, obviously, I would imagine that type of experience, kind of homing your craft musically and also as professionals, had to help quite a bit heading back into the studio to do this album too, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that you do helps, even if you don't think it's helping. Just the longer you do it, the little tiny experiences that you don't even know are influencing you in some way or making you better, make you better. So,
yeah, I mean, everything from, before we actually had our stage props, our stage scrims. I remember being out on tour and seeing a band that had stage scrims, which are the mesh, vinyl scrims that have designs on them that sit in front of the amps, and saying that we need that, every single time we see something that another band has that looks awesome, we're like, all right, let's do it.
Realistically, we've been a band for a long time. We started in, eighth or ninth grade, all high school friends.
Yeah, we're all high school best friends.
Doing it for a long time, but
that's a good point.
Realistically, we didn't really take it too seriously. We kind of just thought that, if we keep doing it, someone will eventually, see the talent in us. But we never really put too much work into it. And 2009, I think, was our first tour. And we were like, oh, my goodness, we're getting smoked by the competition out here. And we'd go up to bands thinking that they were signed because of how professional they looked. And, you know, just from their music to what they, you know, had on stage with them, to their graphics, to their CDs and their merch, and just everything that goes into making a band look pro.
Yeah, the professional merch.
And we'd be like, what label are you on? They're like, oh, we're not on a label. We're indie. And we'd be like, shit. All right, well, we got to up our game. And since 2009, we've been, you know, whether a band has given us the advice or we've had to steal it from them, we've been learning since 2009 and tweaking our game.
Yeah, and now we actually, you know, we're to the point where that we get that question quite a lot at shows. Who are you signed by? Which feels really good coming from a you know, a band that had to learn how to become looking like a signed band, you know?
No, I think that's it shows the growth of the band, also the maturity in you guys as well, to realize, hey, if we're going to do this, we need to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of switching gears on you a little bit. I'll tell you what, do you remember any of those bands? What are some of the best bands you've seen that you've been out? I mean, obviously you've been on a couple Warped Tours and, you know, Taproot in this moment, and the list goes on and on there. I mean, is there certain bands where, you know, when you're on tour with them, I mean, like every night you're like, man, these guys are just unbelievable.
On the last tour, the Taproot tour, obviously Taproot yeah. was one of my, favorite bands in high school, and
can't really include them
throughout college. So just the fact that I got to see them every night, like, blew my mind. I was just drinking some beers, just watching my favorite band every night, and being on tour with them, opening for them. So that was ridiculous. But also the other guys that really blew my mind were Boy Hits Car. And they, you know, I have to say completely honestly, when I first heard them, I wasn't, you know, 100% sure if how much I loved it, and, you know, a couple nights in, I was like captivated by them. Like, they're just their stage presence, and Craig the vocalist, his pipes, man, he's just got some pipes on him, and they were just very impressive. So they really impressed me.
Yeah, they're good.
Boy,
we've played with a lot of really good bands. Obviously, you know, In This Moment was really good. We've played with Mark Tremonti from
Creed and Tremonti.
Well, we've done a lot of stuff, but the first band, like, going kind of back to where, you know, we kind of made that switch, the first band that really made a big impression on me that wasn't signed at the time was Blame Shift, and they're still rocking and kicking, and still doing good stuff. But I remember seeing them for the first time. We were in Vermont or something like that, playing with them, and you know, I thought for sure they were signed, and they did everything by themselves. And that's kind of when we all decided, hey, we really need to step it up. And they, you know, we still talk to them. We're still cool with them. So it's nice to.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Blame Shift. We've actually had Jenny on the show a while back. They're a really cool band. So I'm glad to, you know, I'm making a connection here. I dig that. And, you know, finding bands again that are out there doing it and putting the work in. And that means a lot to us. And we appreciate the work you guys are putting in. So again, switching gears on you again, the single Stronger, which is, man, this song, I have a feeling this is like a hit you guys have in your hands as far as I'm concerned. And I really dig this track.
Thanks so much.
Now, Ryan, did you take it more of a part on this lyrically, or is this one of those songs where it was kind of like more of the process where we kind of had their input on it, or?
Yeah, this song, normally the ideas are for the songs are originated from me or Jacob, and then we all kind of work together to make sure that they make sense, and that they're, you know, because sometimes it's easy to write lyrics that you think makes sense to you, but then when others read them, they might be coming off of something else. So that's why we kind of have that process of everybody really reading it and trying to make sure that it's making sense. But this song to me was about, there was something that happened in my life with one of my best friends where I wanted to just end my friendship with the person, and that's just really not the way to live. I mean, there's only so many days that you're alive, and it's just, life is too short to be, you know, holding a grudge. And this song is just about learning to let it go. Like, don't let that kind of anger stay with you and have like a negative impact on your life, you know. Get over it, move on, just push it under the rug, and, you know, be friends.
Right on. No, well said, man. Anything else you guys want to add on to this single, Stronger? Obviously, I know that, you know, at least, you know, when I first announced you guys were going to be on, people heard the song and were like, yeah, man, Like this song is, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say it's definitely a synopsis of what you guys are as a band, but it definitely is a good indication of the direction you guys are going as a band and really in general songwriting sense.
Yeah, this song and as well as the few others that have been written since Taking the Clock Apart that are, you know, that we're starting to build up for the next album. This is it. Taking the Clock Apart was great, but I really think that this next album with the songs that we're writing now are even stronger. And you know, if these aren't the ones that take us to the next level, then I'm sure something in the future is going to be that, you know, be able to do it.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I tell you what, let's take another break and we'll listen to the single Stronger by Will Powerless here on Revelator. Will Powerless and Stronger here on Revelator, hanging out with Ryan and Jordan from the band Will Powerless. Really dig that track, man. I mean, that's just one of those songs you can hear quite a bit. And, you know, we were talking in between the song here, you know, about radio playing stuff. And I would much rather hear that song than Nickelback. I'm just saying. You know? I'm just saying, man. Just saying. If there's any FM stations out there listening. But, hey, you know, I got curious, and I try to ask almost every band this question: the name of the band, Will Powerless. Obviously, it's a big deal when you're going to join a band. You guys mentioned you started playing, you know, early high school age. When did you guys hang your head on Will Powerless? And you know, how did that come to be? And do you remember any of the titles that did not make the cut?
Oh yeah,
start with titles.
Yeah, I guess we'll start with titles that didn't make the cut. We had Snot Rocket.
Yeah, Snot Rocket was a good one.
And we had, this is back when, you know, we were like 10. 13, 14, or maybe even younger, and I'm just starting, you know, trying to do this. And then we had one named Kamikaze, and, you know, mom and dad were like, no, you're not naming your band Kamikaze. we had Lava Lamp.
Lava Lamp.
Oh, this is the best 30 one.
30 seconds over.
30 seconds over. We had we played a high school battle of the bands when we were like in ninth grade, and we didn't make the cut in the tryout. We didn't get to be in the actual thing. Yeah. And they gave you like a time limit, and we like made up this like crazy like internal band excuse to like make ourselves feel better that we were like 30 seconds over the time limit. So then we like named the band 30 seconds over about it, and it was just some pretty silly stuff.
Snot Rocket's my favorite.
Yeah. And then, Rocket, yeah, so then there was a slew of other ones. There was Venus Flytraps. There was, but that was back in the
day. You know, we started, Ryan and I started playing music. We lived in Wilmington, Delaware before we, you know, really made Will Powerless, and we were like 10, 9 or 10, so a lot of these names were just as like little.
Yeah,
little
we had Quake 220.
Yeah, Quake 220.
With our friends Jimmy Collins and Mike Forrest back in like 7th grade in St. Helena's on Concord Pike in Wilmington, Delaware.
Philadelphia Pike.
Yeah, Philadelphia Pike, and that was pretty funny. That was funny. I think we had Jordan playing the trumpet at that time.
Yeah. I was killing it on the trumpet. You couldn't trust my trumpet skills.
The name Will Powerless, basically, you know, we write for the Will Powerless. The some people have said, you know, like, is it because you guys are Will Powerless, or are you Will? You know, but really, the name to us is a good description of humanity as a whole, and we like to write music for the Will Powerless.
Yeah, there's a couple ways you can look at it. You know, a lot is just kind of a description of humanity, like Ryan said, where a lot of people, when they're handed a decision to make, they're going to choose what feels better. That's the majority of people. And then the other way to kind of look at Will Powerless is, like you said, is we write music for people who need something to help them get by.
Yeah, a little the positive, you know, reinforcement. They need some positive
reinforcement. So we write music for the Will Powerless as well. So
nice. Well done, man. I don't think you put that any better than that right there. Now, I got to ask you, obviously you mentioned Taproot as a big influence. You guys got a chance to tour with them. Now, I got to ask you, I mean, early on, do you remember, you know, obviously you started playing music at a young age. Is there bands or groups out there that you remember early on, or maybe bands maybe your parents kind of got you into that really, you know, when you first heard it, you were like, man, I really want to do this, or I want to emulate this?
Well, I know, you know, my main, you know, I started liking, you know, hard rock when I was young, and it was, you know, Korn, Deftones, Limp Bizkit type stuff.
Yeah, same here.
And that's pretty much how we all were. We were all kind of in that genre. But yeah, it's funny too. You mentioned, you know, your parents. A lot of, you know, the music that my parents listened to when we were younger is nowhere close to what we play. But it's still like, I still like it. Like, they listened to Queen and Foreigner and that type of stuff. And it's catchy. And I love that kind of music. So
yeah,
you know, everyone in this band is, we're more taken over by heavy, you know, harder rock music, but we like all kinds of music as long as it's catchy.
Yeah, especially as we grew up, the all four of us pretty much listened to all types of genres. I mean, we listened to I have hip hop artists, I have some country artists, I've got rock artists, I've got, you know, some reggae artists on there. I basically
got Carly Rae Jepsen.
Basically I'll go from John Mayer to Slayer.
All right, nice.
He goes from Beaver to the Meat Cleaver.
is Justin Bieber trying to look like Miley Cyrus, or is Miley Cyrus trying to look like Justin Bieber?
That's a good question.
That's
almost as good as like, was the color orange named after oranges, or were oranges named after the color orange?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Just one of those things we may never know the answer to.
But, yeah, or like how you lose your penis when you're really drunk.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Apparently you want to you don't want to pass out in the streets of the Dominican Republic, or some dog will chew your penis off. You'll wake up and be like, I don't know. I had a penis. I had a penis when I fell asleep. I woke up and it was gone.
Last night.
Like, boy, no more tequila for me. You know, like,
that would be pretty terrifying to wake up and not know where your penis is.
like that's a new low. Like, you know, there's lows like, you know, like, man, maybe I should quit drinking. You know, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. But like, that's like, oh man, it's not like you can have another penis to lose. It's not like you lost a finger. I'm like, well, I still got 9 more. You know,
it'd suck even more if you woke up and you had like an ice bag. So at one point in the night, you knew you lost your dick, but you couldn't stay with it enough to figure out what you did with it.
very, very strange story there. But well, I gotta ask, man. I mean, you guys are in the Philadelphia area, obviously a pretty big sports town. You guys mentioned you're watching the Phillies game. Football season's around the corner. How do you think your Eagles are going to pan out under the new coach, man?
I think the minimum they're going to do is 10-6. I'm excited.
I'm positive.
I think they can go 12-4.
We like to try to keep optimistic.
Yeah, we like to talk shit.
Right. Yeah. Well, as a Cleveland sports fan, our optimism is holds no bound, considering we haven't won a playoff game since '94. So I'm like, this year, I really think the Browns are going to win games, and then we go 5-11 again for like the sixth time in a row. So I think the Eagles are the division's tough. I'm actually going to cover the NFC East tonight a little later on the show. So definitely stick around for that. If people are interested, and I'm sure they're going to be, about Will Powerless as a band, you know, they want to find out more about where you guys are going to be playing on the upcoming tour, how can they do so?
They can, our main channel of communication with our fans is obviously Facebook. But you can, you can check our tour dates out there. You can go to willpowerless.com to check out the tour dates. We're on all the major stuff, bands in town and all that other stuff. You can check it out, and you can chat with us back and forth on Twitter. I guess since we're talking about, this tour, we haven't mentioned who we're going out with this time around, but we're excited to join up with American Head Charge and Psycho Stick. American Head Charge is actually another one of the bands that we, listened to when we were a little bit younger, and we actually went and saw them play with Slipknot and System of a Down on the Pledges of Allegiance tour. And
we're
excited to be out with them as well. So it's another exciting opportunity for us.
Actually, just real quick, I'd like to say on our Facebook page, our timeline banner actually has all the dates and venues listed on it. So if you want the quickest way to find out where we're playing and where we're going to be, just go to facebook.com/willpowerless and click on the Facebook timeline banner, and it'll show you all the dates and the venues that we'll be at with American Head Charge and Psycho Stick.
And there's some free songs up there as well. We have one or two tracks up there for free download. If you're listening, go snag them. Share them with your friends.
Very cool. Well, yeah, Jordan, Ryan, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys, man. And I know you guys are going to be in Nashville next week. So we'll be in touch here throughout the week, man. I'll have to come out and see you guys, man.
That would be awesome, man.
Yeah, we'll get some drinks. We'll play the wristwatch game.
Right.
Play the detachable wristwatch game.
Yeah, yeah. I'll make sure I take my Cialis before I get there. So, all right. So we leave tonight with American Psycho. This is off the first album, Found Their Way Home. And gentlemen, it's been a pleasure, and we'll be in touch.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, guys.
Will Powerless here on Revelator. Again, thanks to Jordan and Ryan from the band Will Powerless for coming on tonight. Really cool guys. Looking forward to really good things from them in the future, and best of luck on the tour. And that was American Psycho by them off their first album. Now, if you're interested in Will Powerless and more information and finding out more information about Will Powerless, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Click on episode number 22. And you can find out all the information you want to know about Will Powerless, links to their site, music, and so on and so forth. And we move on tonight with our NFL preview, the NFC East. And we'll start with Will Powerless and the Philadelphia Eagles. And they thought they can go 10-6. It's possible. I really think there's a talent on that team with some injuries. Defensively, I'm just not quite sure about that team up front yet. And, you know, obviously some key losses in the secondary as well. With that being said, a very tough division. I think they're probably going to be 8-8 this year. A lot of things to shore up on that team. But I think offensively, I think they're going to put up a lot of points. I just don't know if defensively they're going to be able to make enough stops when it counts. Look at the Cowboys. Always going to, I think, be in the mix. They're going to have a better year than last year, but not by much. I think they go 9-7. I think the New York Football Giants, I think, are probably going to win this division. It's going to be between them and the Redskins, I think. I picked the Giants going 10-6, and I had the Redskins going 9-7. No real dominant team in this particular division, the NFC East. So I have the Giants go at 10-6, Redskins, Cowboys 9-7, and I have the Eagles at 8-8. Again, no real dominant team there. RG3 coming off the knee injury. It remains to be seen how he's going to perform. And obviously the Giants, you know, I mean, look, you have Victor Cruz and Eli Manning, you have a chance. And, you know, again, that's why they play the games. It's, you know, 16 games. So we'll see how that pans out. This is our NFL preview, NFC East, and we'll do another division next week. We'll go to the AFC. We'll go to the AFC East next week, and we'll take a look at the movies at the box office, starting with number 10, working our way up to number 1. Pacific Rim, a movie I'm actually going to go see later this evening, making $4.4 million. The movie The Heat at $4.6 million. Red 2 at $5.5 million. The movie Turbo at $6.2 million. Grown Ups 2, $7.9 million in its 4 weeks at the box office, has made $116 million. Despicable Me 2 at $10 million. The Conjuring has made over $107 million in 3 weeks at the box office. Smurfs 2, Stack Me 3 Apples High. I can't believe they made another one of these. $17.5 million. And the movie The Wolverine, which looks badass, $21.3 million, has made $94 million in its first 2 weeks. And opening up number one at the box office this week with Denzel Washington film titled Two Guns at $27 million. Looks like a pretty solid film. Looks like a very entertaining action flick. Hey, again, thanks to the guys from Will Powerless. Mike, wonderful job as always. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 22, Detachable Wristwatch. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.